glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Are you tired?
No.
You sound tired. Let's do a little Vaishnava exercise. Just put your hands in the air, all of you. All of your hands. If you have more than two, put them up also. And take a deep breath. And everyone say, after me, very loud, after me. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
No, the thing is, I said loud. Hare Krishna! You are too tired. Okay, anyway, you're trying your best. You're nice people. So you know what, devotees, let us just tell you what's happening this afternoon. We'll read a verse here from Srimad Bhagavatam, actually. On a particular theme, we're asked to say something about the theme of service to the devotees, the value of the results of, and how Krishna sees service to the devotees, what Krishna thinks about it. So yes, so we'll read a verse. It's actually Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, verse 16. One of my favorite verses. So we'll read that, say some words for a little while. And then after that, well, you may have noticed just outside here, just a few meters behind me, at Govardhan Hill has manifested, has arrived, yes, from India, from UP, yes, UP say. Anyway, Govardhan Hill is here. And as I understand, we are going to go out and gather around Govardhan Hill, and then we are going to just sort of move around the hill a little, at least I will initially, I think, and just point out some of the important pastime places of the Lord there, and explain a little bit about some of those pastimes. This is what we're going to do, because on, what is it, Thursday, Tuesday? It's Thursday. On Thursday is Govardhan Puja, that very special day. It's one of the very, very most favorite days, most favoritest days. See, it's very, very, very favorite, you see? Most favoritest, more most favoritest, that's even sure, extra dimensional. So, yeah. So that's what we, but today, now Sunday, we are just going to start what you might call a little warm-up, getting ready, getting into gear, into tune for that special, special day on Thursday, Govardhan Puja. So Govardhan Hill has kindly arrived. Yes. So this is what we'll do. We'll go, and like we said, see Govardhan Hill, point out some of the places, say something about them. Then, well, then I believe we're coming back in here. Oh, what do we get? Oh, out there. Okay. Then we're going to gather over here somewhere. And let's see, what do we... Oh, what about Dhammadharastakam? Haribol. At some point, we will come back in here and we'll sing Dhammadharastakam because it is the month of Dhammadhar, and we'll offer lamps. We have lamps here and there. We'll offer lamps to Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, and Dhammadhar. And we're going to distribute some prasad, am I right? We've heard a rumor. We're going to distribute some prasad, just like personally, a sweet or something, is it? Something along those lines. And this is sort of, it's our program. And then I guess more kirtan after the Dhammadharastakam. And then a feast will be served. So there you go, devotees. That is approximately plus or minus our program. So for the time being though, let us read this verse. Like I said, one of my favorite verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's particularly valuable in that it really discusses serving the devotees very nicely. Okay, so here we are. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Very good. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 16. Shushrusho Shraddhadasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Siyan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirtha Nishevanat. Translation. Oh, twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. Vasudev is another name of Krishna. Vasudev means, with a long A, means the son of Vasudev with a short A. Yes, so that means our Lord Krishna. So yes, let's read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called devas or godly living beings, and there are men called asuras or demons who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, a vivid description of the asuras is given, in which it is said that the asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms, and have no information of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the supreme will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord. And when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, They are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the Asuras. And the demoniac followers of such Asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there's definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself, according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaves so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. So that's the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Let me just read the verse again. Shushrusho Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punyatirtha Nishevanat. Oh, twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. So let us say a few words about this. Yes. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasta Bhutale Shivati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Niravishesha Shunyavadi Bastutade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gauravakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Vajkabhita Rubyas Jagripa, Sindhu Bhya Evacha, Padidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Yes, well again, it's very nice, it's wonderful to be here with you all. in our beautiful ISKCON Sandton Temple. And we hope you're all happy in Krishna consciousness. We hope nobody is in Maya or illusion, caught up in the material world, particularly on Sunday afternoon. So, yes, and now we are in more or less the middle thereabouts, the middle of this very special month called the month of Damodar. And this month, well, on the altar here, perhaps you can't see from there, but on the altar there's small deity just in front of the deities, the main deities there. There's small deities of little Krishna as a small boy, 3 years old actually, and his mother Yashoda, who in the depiction that you see there, she is trying to tie him. Damodar, Krishna is known as Damodar in this pastime. Krishna has different names depending on the different pastimes and his association with different devotees. These are different factors. And so he adopts different names under those different circumstances, particular pastime, particular devotees, like that. So Damodar is very famous pastime. And Dhamma means rope, or string or rope, actually. And Udara means waste. So Damodar means Lord Krishna, who was tied around the waist by his mother Yashoda, and in that way restricted from acting, and even we should say really, restricted from being naughty. Yeah, Krishna sometimes was naughty. Is your daughter naughty sometimes? Yes? Okay. Following in the footsteps of Krishna. So, okay, yes. But, you know, children, when they're naughty, when they really get naughty, it can be kind of negative. Sometimes they may damage something or try and hurt someone or just sort of lose control. So naughtiness, sometimes of course it's kind of interesting and amusing for adults to watch little children sort of trying to be naughty. But Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said that when Krishna was little, when Krishna was good, he was good. And when Krishna was bad, he was good. It's all good because it's Krishna. Yes. Krishna, you know, he stole the butter, he stole the yogurt and different other dairy products. Sometimes, oops, she's thinking about stealing some butter. Sometimes he would steal the chum chum. Are you familiar with chum chum? Who is not? Who has not met chum chum in this life? Anyway, if you haven't, you've wasted at least 10% of your life. So, but anyway, Krishna in this pastime was tied by Mother Yashoda. And we might wonder, and it's a good question, how can God be tied and restricted and controlled to the point he cannot move, he cannot budge? How could it be? because he is God. He is supporting. What to speak of this planet? He's supporting all the planets and he's supporting all the universes. Yes. So he's so powerful. It is just completely inconceivable. It's beyond inconceivable by our standards. He's so powerful. But here he was controlled by Mother Yashoda and tied up. And he couldn't do anything. He couldn't move. Yes. So how could that be? This is because of the love of Mother Yashoda. And she's a very special devotee, of course, one of the most. But the point in this regard, in terms of the verse we're looking at, is that if we follow in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda, then we can also come to that point of controlling God. Let's not start just thinking that, okay, tomorrow or later this afternoon. It's a big thing. It's not a small thing at all. But still it's a fact. If we follow in the footsteps of the very great devotees, like Mother Yashoda, like Srila Prabhupada, if we follow in their footsteps, trying to learn from their examples, and following their instructions, and rendering service to them, and pleasing them, then by that, we will get their mercy. And we will become empowered by them. Even to that point, even our humble selves, like all of us gathered here, I don't think any of us are really very special devotees. But at least I know that many of you are sincere souls, and you're trying your best, and well done for that. So you just carry on in these ways, like we just said, and you'll progress. Without doubt, you'll progress, and gradually you'll come to that point that Krishna will appreciate so much more and more and more. He'll appreciate, what a nice devotee. How this devotee, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, how this devotee is giving everything for me. And so how can I reciprocate? I must reciprocate. And Krishna then gradually does more and more for the devotee. Until ultimately Krishna may feel that, what more can I do? This devotee is so extraordinary, so wonderful. What more can I do? I have to give myself. And Krishna gives himself to his sincere devotee. So this is sort of the essence of Krishna consciousness in one sense. That we should try our best to render service. And in that way, we will endear ourselves to Krishna, who is not ungrateful. We've mentioned many times before, maybe some of you have heard, Srila Jiva Goswami, one of our great previous acharyas, he says that even though Krishna is so great, he's like an unlimited ocean, but still he never forgets even the smallest drop of service. Yeah. Even something accidentally done, unknowingly done, like that, foolishly done, you know, in some sort of clumsy way. But Krishna never forgets. He's never ungrateful. And as the devotee progresses, gradually Krishna gives more and more. So this verse then is very relevant in these terms. That the verse is saying that if we render service to the devotees, particularly, of course, the verse says, those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, which means very, very elevated devotees, very, very pure devotees, really situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. So if we render service to such devotees, well, the verse says, great service is done. It's very significant. And then by that service, one gains an affinity, an attraction, a real attraction, like one feels impelled towards the messages of Krishna. This is a very important point, because we understand in the process of Krishna consciousness, hearing and chanting about the Lord, that spiritual sound vibration, the names of the Lord, pastimes, stories about the Lord, philosophy spoken by the Lord, which means it's not just philosophy, some sort of arguments or attempts to convince, but these are actually the thoughts and feelings sheltered within the heart of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is explaining what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and that we should surrender to Him and give up all our nonsense, etc., and become His devotees, then Krishna is revealing something very intimate from within His heart. Actually, Krishna is saying, you should develop love for me, and this is how to do it. Did you ever have anyone walk up to you other than your mother, or maybe your father, or someone like that, and say, I love you? Yeah. You know, that's a very deep thing for someone to reveal if they feel about you like that. That's really something. It can be very difficult for people to say that sometimes. But Krishna here is saying it to everyone. He says, telling everyone, look, I love you. And this is how we can develop our relationship. And this is how good it will be for you. So Krishna, yes, when Krishna speaks his philosophy, it's not just philosophy, but he's revealing the feelings within his heart and giving us access to his heart. It's very significant. So amongst the different processes of devotional service, different activities in devotional service, as listed out by Prahlad in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. The first two. Hear and then chant about the Lord. Yes. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. 9 processes. But they begin with hearing. You have to hear before you talk. If you haven't heard and you want to talk, you won't be able to, because you've got nothing to talk about, because you haven't heard. You can only talk about something you've heard about. And then following that is smaranam, or remembrance. You can only remember something which you've heard. And repeating it, chanting it, speaking it, that when you speak, if you hear something, then you speak about it. When you speak, you hear about it also. And so in other words, it just sort of what deepens the whole experience, which is based on hearing. and then becomes imprinted in our internal circuitry, and then we can remember it. Yeah. So in other words, to advance in Krishna consciousness, it's very important to hear and chant about the Lord. But how to get an attraction, how to develop an affinity. I remember when I first joined the temple, January 1973. Whew. It gets to be a longer time ago, just, you know, practically every day. Almost 46 years ago. Where were you at that time? Previous lifetime. So, yeah, so there I was living in the temple in London, and we didn't sleep much, maybe 5 hours a night. And it was usually kind of a broken sleep because there were about 20 of us in a room, which was, I'd say, not more than 20 square meters, if you know what that means. Yeah. And we fitted in to sleep like sardines. Everyone had their spot, then the next one, right next to each other. And you'd wake up sometimes with someone's lotus feet in your mouth. Oh, sure, so many times, which is very beneficial, but it doesn't help you sleep properly. And as a result, whenever we would sit down, it was really quite common we'd just fall asleep. So we had this program. We had to read every day half an hour. Sit down, books, read. And I remember because of getting so little sleep that I didn't read much, because most of the time I was waking up from having fallen asleep. And I didn't even notice I was falling asleep. Just, oh, I must have fallen asleep. So to get an attraction, a real affinity, so you enjoy it, so it's like nectar, so you don't want to stop, or at least so you're willing to carry on, but particularly to the point where you feel a deep attraction, appreciation, and relish for reading or chanting the names of the Lord, these activities. It's special mercy, actually. It's special mercy if you can get that. Because otherwise, either, you know, in some cases, you may find it boring, too philosophical, too dry, can't follow it. I read for half an hour, I forget what I read. This type of experience. But to come to the point where you become like a sponge, so to speak, and you just absorb it, and if people try to interrupt you, then you send them away and you're not appreciative. This is a more advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, actually. And to come to that point, because these are the first activities, to be able to come to that point very nicely, that means you received some real good fortune. Some real good fortune. So how to get it? Well, of course, you know, you can always practice. The Bhagavatam says, if you fall asleep, stand up. Yeah, so you can always stand up and read. I have seen some devotees fall over while standing up and reading and hurt themselves. So you've got to be careful about that too. Oh, so many things we've seen you wouldn't believe. So how to get this attraction real, like deeper attraction, so one feels just impelled. I want to read, I must read, and I must chant, and I don't want to stop. Some special mercy. You can always just practice, and keep plugging on. But some mercy is better. And how to get that? That's what this verse here is talking about. By serving the devotees. Now you might question, how could it be that you serve the devotees and you get an attraction for hearing about the Lord? It's different. The two activities are different. You know, if, for example, you're feeling hungry and you eat some nice prasadam and then your hunger goes away, then the two activities are connected, the eating and the removal of the hunger. That's just they're naturally connected. But what's the natural connection between serving the devotees and feeling a real attraction for hearing and chanting about the Lord? Well, frankly, on the sort of surface level, there is no real connection. They're just two different activities. But here they're being tied together. So what is the connection? The connection is this, devotees. Listen to this. This is the connection. The connection is that the devotees are very dear to Krishna. As we read in the purport, Prabhupada said, the devotees give their lives, they even risk their lives to spread the glories of the Lord and just to serve the Lord in so many ways. And the Lord sees that and he appreciates. So the Lord appreciates the devotees greatly, particularly the very advanced devotees. Is kind of proportionate to the level of advancement, more or less. And so if you serve such devotees, Krishna appreciates it. Prabhupada gave the example. We gave a couple of examples, actually. Prabhupada gave the example of some rich man who was out in the park taking his little grandchild for a walk, little child. And if you want to impress the wealthy man and sort of become recognized by him, one thing you can do, Prabhupada said, go up to the grandchild and give the grandchild just some small thing. Like a little sweetie. It's nothing. It may cost a few cents. And the little child is, oh, so happy. And because you've pleased the child, that wealthy man who otherwise will be very hard to please and impress and to make an impression on, oh, he'll be very happy with you. Yeah. So Prabhupada gave that as an example. He also gave the example, it's just a well-known example, love me, love my dog. Yeah. Someone again is walking in the park with their dog. If you do something nice to the dog, the person thinks you're cool. But if you give the dog a whack, then you've done nothing to the person. You haven't hurt the person. But he's going to be really upset with you. You know, if you give the child a whack, whoa, yeah, that may be it. It may be the end. Because the person's emotions are just tied into the other, the child or the dog. They're really tied in. And whereas if you offer the rich man a sweet, you know, he may just throw it in the rubbish bin. This is just some rubbish. What are you doing? Yeah. So this is the principle that the devotees, because they're so much devotees, they're very dear to the Lord. And therefore, if you please those devotees, if you serve those devotees, the Lord notices much more than if you try to approach him directly, because he is surrounded by millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions, sextillions, is it? Or hex, pick, pent, okay, pentillions, and, you know, zillions of devotees who are just way more advanced than us and who are just way more dedicated to him than we are, with all due respect. And he's just surrounded by them. And they're just doing everything far more and far better than we can do. So how are we going to impress him? So therefore we say, better to try and please the devotees. Of course, like we said, devotees are on different levels. And the more elevated, like Srila Prabhupada, he's the most elevated. The more we can please him, the more impression it'll make on Krishna. But anyone who's at least trying to be a devotee, Krishna notes them. When you try to become a devotee and you render some service, and when you start chanting on the beads and these things, you know what Krishna does? Did you know Krishna has a little black book and a little black pen? And when you come to that point, you're doing some service and doing some chanting, even if you're not some big, big transcendental person like Prabhupada, but you're just beginning, but you're doing something, Krishna writes your name down in his book. Yeah. And once your name is in Krishna's book, well, you are on your way. Yeah. Maybe now Krishna has got, what would he have? Like, would it be a mini iPad? Or rather than a pen? Anyway, you know Krishna. He's cool, he's slick, so you don't need to worry. Sharp, sharp, as they say. So let me tell you one little story in this regard. It's just a very interesting story. There was one devotee named Shivananda, who joined Prabhupada's movement in America, I guess. And he's just a young man. Was he the one who was 18? Or was it Krishnadas? Huh? Anyway, okay, he's just a young man. In those days, there were no devotees over 30. If anyone was 30, like Jayananda, he became a devotee. He was about 30. Everyone thought that he's just an old man, so geriatric. So anyway, here's this Shivananda and Krishnadas, or just Shivananda. Just Shivananda, okay. He's American. He went to Germany to preach. He'd been a devotee. He was one of the senior devotees. This is like 69. He was a senior devotee. He had been a devotee for at least 2 years. Maybe two and a half. I don't think as much as three. But he was a very senior devotee. I believe he was 18 years old. He spoke American, if you know what I mean. But he decided to go to Germany. He spoke not a word of German, not a word. And he went to Germany to preach, single-handed, 18 years old. Yeah, so there he was. And Srila Prabhupada came to visit him and stayed with him, I think, for a week or something like a week. Just the two of them. Can you imagine being alone with Srila Prabhupada 24 hours a day for a week? Whew. That's inconceivable too. So one of the days during that week was Ekadasi. And on that day, sometimes Prabhupada encouraged, definitely, devotees chant more. So Srila Prabhupada that morning, from early morning till midday, Prabhupada sat in the little temple room they had and just chanted japa for like, you know, 6-8 hours, something like that. Just sat and chanted. Then around 12, Prabhupada got up and walked out to where there was some little living quarters at the back, very limited, but he went out there, and there was Shivananda. The Prabhupada said to Shivananda, "Shivananda, will you pray to Krishna for me?" You know, the most senior devotee in Germany, Shivananda, if we don't count Prabhupada, the most senior devotee, 18 years old, been a devotee 2 years. And Prabhupada says in a very humble voice, "Will you pray to Krishna for me?" And Shivananda became just, you know, he really didn't know what to say. But somehow he got himself to say, "Prabhupada, I don't think it'll work. I don't think Krishna will hear me." And Prabhupada said, No. Krishna will hear you. You're a devotee. Krishna will hear you." So even someone who's, you know, a very new person, inexperienced, lacking in depth in Krishna consciousness, lacking in purity, etc., but trying to do something, Krishna notices. And Krishna takes such a person seriously. Therefore, we should try to serve the devotees, particularly Prabhupada, particularly our spiritual master. We're meaning sort of the most senior, those who are closer to Krishna than the average, particularly them, but actually all the devotees we should try. And when Krishna sees that, Krishna is pleased. Krishna's pleased. More than if we try to do something directly for him without real reference to the devotees. In the 11th canto, I don't think I can give you, can I? I don't think I can give you the actual reference. Oh no, I can. Okay. It's 11th canto. It's Lord Krishna speaking. In the 11th canto, chapter 19, verse 21, if you want to look it up sometime. There's a line. It's 11:19:21. There's one line. "Mad bhakta puja bidat puja pyadika." Mad bhakta, my devotee, puja, the worship of my devotee, abhyadika. Abhyadika, adi means first. Govindam adi purusham, Krishna Govinda is the first person. So, mad bhakta puja abhyadika becomes first. It's the main thing, the most prominent thing. This is Krishna himself speaking. That the main thing in Krishna consciousness is to worship the devotees or serve the devotees. Srila Jiva Goswami, in referring to this and elaborating on it a bit, he paraphrases it. Listen to this. It's really very interesting. That Krishna's saying, serving the devotees is a more effective way of developing love of God, more effective way of developing love of God than trying to develop love of God. Isn't this profound? That's really profound. Yeah. So this is such an important point in Krishna consciousness. And here in this verse we read, the one we're focusing on, 1st Canto, chapter 2, verse 16. When it comes to getting a taste and affinity and attraction for hearing about the Lord, hearing and chanting about the Lord, which is the main devotional activity, then it is stated that you do that by serving the devotees. So think about it. Think about it. It's a very important point. There's a song Prabhupada would quote from time to time. A song by Narottam Das Thakur. I'll just try to locate. Where are we? Here we are. Narottam Das Thakur sings, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistana Payechi Keba. So I'll stay. Bengali Bash. So I'll stay. Take our chair. Okay. It's a little exchange in Bengali. So Prabhupada translates it as, without serving a self-realized Vaishnav, no one has ever been released from the materialistic way of life. That's another one to think about. Elsewhere, I couldn't find it. I didn't have time before we began the class now. But Prabhupada translates that line, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistaya Payechi Keba. Prabhupada translates it that no one has ever gone back to Godhead without smearing on their bodies the dust from the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Anyway, think about that one. There's a lot to think about. Yeah. Let's just do a time check. Anyone know what time anything else is meant to happen? And we'll just carry on. Carry on regardless. When I was young, there was the Carry On series of movies. So we'll carry on regardless. So yeah, let me close by telling you a little story. It's a nice little story some of you will definitely have heard before. That Srila Prabhupada was in his last days, literally, last days. And the devotees, quite a number of devotees are gathered there in Vrindavan. They're trying to, serve Prabhupada and associate with him, render some service as much as they could. And one of the main things they were doing was singing. Yeah. Okay, anyway, I mean, there are many things we could say, actually. But they were singing. So one time, Bhakti Bringa Govinda Swami, who will be here in, about a month, so you can check the story with him. But he was there, and who should... And Prabhupada, he's bedridden. He is just materially in just a physically wasted condition, to say the least, unable to stand or move, even roll over in bed. So one day one of his godbrothers, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he was a godbrother of Prabhupada's, he was closer to Prabhupada than the great majority of his other godbrothers. So he arrived, this Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. He just came walking in and just jumped on Prabhupada's bed and just started talking, going for it, rapping. Is that, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But then, They're just talking away. Oh, this and that sort of spirit. Yes, and a very jolly mood. And Prabhupada is just there, and kind of expressionless. Prabhupada just suddenly just woke up, perked up. And Prabhupada was smiling and replying, and this conversation was going on between them, kind of animated and jolly, a lot of laughing and like that. Suddenly in the middle of it all, Prabhupada stopped and turned to the devotees and said, Tandira Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas Janame Janame Hoy A Abhilas, which means, it's also Narottam Das Thakur actually, Tandira Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas. My only desire is to serve, or to live actually, to live in the association of devotees, Janame Janame Hoy, birth after birth, A Abhilas, that's my only desire. So Prabhupada said that very seriously in the midst of this jolliness and humor and lightheartedness, Tandira Charana Sevi, like that, very pointed. And it made quite an impact on the devotees, but then he turned back to Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj and off they went again, just laughing and joking and light-hearted back and forth for a few more minutes. And suddenly Prabhupada stopped and he pointed, Tandira Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas Janame Janame Hoy A Abhilas. You understand that now, right? My only desire is to live in the company of the devotees and serve their lotus feet, birth after birth. And then he turned back to Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And off they went again. Off they went again. And And then suddenly for a third time, Prabhupada stopped. Tandira Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas Janame Janame Hoy A Abhilas. It's significant. Think about it. It's something else to think about. Yeah. So this is very important. This is very important to gear our lives like that, so we can associate with the devotees and serve the devotees as much as possible. This should be like a foundational principle in our lives. Just like you want to hear another foundational principle, I suspect this will make you laugh. Listen to this. In a temple, there must be a treasurer who looks after the money very scrupulously. He must be tight, not lavish at all. Very tight, because it's Krishna's money. And then there must be a cook who must cook nice prasadam. So, you know, yes. Very different from the tight treasurer. So Prabhupada said, it is good if the treasurer is a little thin. And it is good if the cook is a little fat. If the cook is thin, it's not a good sign. He's not a good cook. Even he doesn't like his cooking. Yes. But anyway, Prabhupada said that. And Prabhupada said, you know what we said before, quoting Narottam Das Thakur. So let's try and bear these things in mind. And devotees, at least according to what I've been told, we're meant to now go out to Govardhan Hill Are there any authorities here? Or are we just independent? Here comes a big authority. Krishna, are you a big authority? We should go out together. Okay, our big authority has instructed us. Aapka naam kya hai? Shamananda Prabhu has spoken. Okay, so we are going to go out, devotees, and try and sort of gather around Govardhan Hill, which is just back here, and we'll have a look around, tell you a few pastimes, then we will come back here and you will get some special prasadam. If you don't come back in, you won't get. Okay. All right, so come with me. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.